You know, it's actually amazing, you know, since I was actually born again, since I come to know Jesus, I've never been able to shut up. It's just, you know, one of those things. You just fall in love with somebody and you just want to talk about him all the time. Why? Because he loves you so much. Yeah. Let's just pray. Father, we just thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. We thank you. It's because of Jesus, Lord, that we're here. Not because of us, but we're here to hear you, to hear your word. And Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are the one. You're the one who leads us and guides us and shows us things to come. You're the one who leads us to the Word and reveals the Word to us. You're the one, Holy Spirit, who quickens these mortal bodies, gives us understanding, gives us wisdom. And if I pray one thing today, I pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation knowledge may flow like a river, that the eyes of the understanding of your body may be opened, enlightened, may perceive and know the hope of your glory, of your calling, Lord God, of the greatness of your power towards those who believe, and according to that mighty dunamis power that you raised him from the dead with, Holy Spirit, and seated him far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that's named in heaven and earth, and put all things under his feet, and made him to be the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, we give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. You know, the Apostle Paul, I just love the Apostle Paul's prayer. The Apostle Paul's prayer, it's an apostolic prayer. And it's a prayer that you should be praying over your life every day. Ephesians 1, 16, 17, and in Ephesians 3, verse 20, that all the apostolic anointing, there's an apostolic anointing on those prayers. And I pray that every day, Lord, I thank you for the spirit of wisdom, right? I'm not asking for it, I'm thanking him for it because he's given it to me because the Holy Spirit dwells within me. So I'm thanking him on a daily basis and saying, thank you, Lord, for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. You'll be amazed when you start praying prayers like that because why? It says in John that when you pray, it says when you pray according to the word, you know that he hears you. Why? Because you're praying according to his will. And you know if you're praying according to his will, you know that he hears you, then you know that you have the petitions that you've asked of him because it's in line with his will, which is his word. Amen? So let me just... we was going to give you some testimony of supernatural testimony, this one, how me and Tracy met. I've got to 11 o'clock. I'll maybe give you just 5-10 minutes on that. Shall I do that? Yeah. Supernatural. I was born again in 1982. Ended up moving over for about an hour and a half over to Edinburgh and Kirkcaldy. There was two churches that I was involved with there. Great pastor, great mentor. 1987, Tracy moved from Whakatane to Scotland because her dad, he'd been here for 30-odd years. He's Scottish. Her mum was Australian. Don't hold that against her. Her mum was Australian, and she was born in actually Melbourne, actually, right? And then moved to Whakatane, grew up in Whakatane, then moved to Scotland in 1987 because her dad had went over there and was living there. And an amazing thing is when we had two kids, Sapphire, which is here, and Daniel, when we moved here, so Sapphire moved from Whakatane, from Scotland to Whakatane, and then ended up living in Melbourne. Tracy was born in Melbourne, moved to Whakatane, and moved to Scotland. Sapphire done it back to front. She just followed her mum, but she's, you know, she's in reverse mode, you know. But we want to get her in forward mode, you know. But that'll just take some time. God's working on her. So anyway, so that's a little bit of story with Tracy. And then 1987, Tracy came to Scotland. She absolutely hated it. The dark clouds, the old buildings, you know, grown up in Whakatane, you know, like beautiful, she loves beaches and the weather and stuff like that. When she got there, the beaches where we lived on the coast is full of coal. They were all coal mining towns. And they used to dump the coal into the sea, and it's ridiculous, right? And you go to the beach and you've got big lumps of coal all over the place, right? She goes, what type of beach is this? Let's go to the beach. She goes, this isn't a beach. This is not a beach. What's this? You couldn't swim in it to save your life, right? Plus it's the North Sea. It's freezing, right? In the middle of summer, as I said, summer comes on a Wednesday, right? So you can't swim anyway. So if you miss the Wednesday, you have to wait till next year. So she came in 1987 and absolutely hated the place, right? And she's like, you know, all her friends were all here. I mean, Tracy grew up with no family whatsoever. I mean, mother was here. They split when she was four, her and her dad. And she was here, so her family was her friends in Whakatane. So when she moved over there, it was like totally, she wasn't born again. Her dad made her go to church here when she was a teenager, but you know, the old teenagers, you know. Yeah, I'm here, but I'm not really here, in body only. So she gets there, and then she went to Switzerland. And when she went to Switzerland, because down in Whakatane, she had a friend down there, Tracy used to do a bit of bodybuilding with a mate down there. She's a Swiss girl over in Switzerland, so Tracy visited her over in Switzerland, and when she's in Switzerland, she's in a shopping centre, and she bumped into two missionaries. Baptist. Don't you just love the Baptist? The Baptists are awesome people. Why? Because they know how to share the gospel. Right? If there's one thing they know how to do, they just know how to just share the gospel. You know, where people, they met her, a lovely Baptist couple, met her in the shopping centre. First thing they said, can we ask you a question? Yeah, what is it? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour? Whoa, I know of him, but I don't know him, she says. 3 days later, she goes back to the house, has dinner with this couple, gives her life to Jesus, comes back to Scotland, right? Her dad, she tells her dad, I was in Switzerland, got saved, and dad goes, oh, what type of cult are you into? He didn't know. He's like, he's been praying for 7 years on the mountaintops in the freezing snow for his daughter, gets saved, and he thinks she's involved in a cult, right? So she explains, okay, you're born. So he went to a bit more conservative church, and I mean, the church I went to, quite radical church, and faith church, really high-powered, praise, the whole deal. Wasn't really his style, but he says, I know the church for you. So he brought her to the church. And soon she came into the church. Basically, it was a Monday night. Never forgot it. Monday night meeting. And we're in the meeting. At that time, I had the long black hair, remember? The long black hair. And she's sitting there like that. And she goes, oh, who's this guy down here? And somebody said something. So we got to meet afterwards, right? And you know how, like, girls, you know, girls are. Girls, you know, ladies are. You know, they like to hook people up, you know, in churches and stuff like that, right? You know, oh, he'll go behind you. Okay, enough's enough. So anyway, they get together and they get a hold of Tracy, and they introduce me, and I start talking for about 2 or 3 seconds, and Tracy looks at me and she goes, I hate the way the Glaswegians speak. Well, that's it, buddy, I'm out of here, isn't I? There's no chance for me. You know, she's got this long, beautiful, you know, flowing, blonde hair. She looked a bit of a dishy girl, you know, and all of a sudden she says, I don't like the way Glaswegians speak, and I'm thinking, well, that's me, I'm out of the game. So anyway, that was it, never thought nothing of it. I was a youth pastor at the time. So she just gets born again, 1987. She's in our church. I'm on my way to Nigeria. She was in the church a few weeks. And now here's a bit of a funny story. We're in the church about a few weeks. She goes up to the pastor's house, and there's a bit of a home group. And you talk about how God's got an amazing way of making people fall for you, right? Especially, you know, I mean, really, you know, is it the black hair? Is it the brown eyes? What is it? I'll tell you. No, it was the Holy Ghost, right? It was the Holy Ghost. So I'm standing there, and Pastor Sherry says, let's pray, Tracy, let's get you filled with the Holy Ghost. Let's pray for you for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You're speaking in tongues. Let's empower your life. Tracy says, yep, no problem. So anyway, she stands up. Pastor Sherry, I'm standing behind her. Pastor Sherry starts praying for that. Boom, she lands right on my lap, and I'm lying here against the wall, and she's lying up. See, she fell for me. You don't like glass regions? I don't think so. God's got other ideas, baby. So that was the first encounter, you know, like that. So we used to talk that, you know, like for maybe a week or something like that, and she just, you know, she really just was in love with Jesus, man. She was so in love with Jesus, she actually thought she was, I mean, I know that we are the bride, but she really thought she was the bride, right? I mean, she almost thought she was an angel. She felt so angelic when she got born again. I mean, she worked in the bank, and she had all little Jesus things at the bank. The manager had to pull it in the office and say, hey, you're supposed to be selling insurance, not Jesus. That was Tracy, because she's always smiling. People say, I mean, you walk in, it's got grey clouds, you know, dirt faces, whatever. And they walk in, and she's like used to the sunshine. She's a happy person. She's full of joy now because she's got Jesus. And they're going, what are you so happy about? She says, I'm happy because I've got Jesus. So she was telling him about Jesus. Anyway, the guy tried to get her. One of the managers tried to, you know, get rid of her and the whole deal. And they did. They got rid of her, right? And the guy that got rid of her, right, about 6 months later, got demoted. The guy that got rid of her for sharing Jesus got demoted, and they ended up sending to the bank, the other bank that Tracy was in, and she was the only friend that he had. She didn't hold it against him. She loved him. And he went away to a Christian bookstop. This guy was into satanic stuff and the whole deal, whatever. He went to a Christian bookshop, right? And he basically bought her some lovely Christian things for her Bible and all sorts of things, because she was the only friend that he had. Love takes no account of any evil done to it. It suffers long, it's patient, and it's kind. The love of God. The love of God overcomes all things. The goodness of God turns men's hearts to repentance. This guy who didn't like her and tried to persecute her and get her to the bank, he ended up, you know, in the place, and nobody liked him, right? And she just loved on him. That's just Tracy. And just, you know, really touched his heart. I'll just talk about Tracy. We'll just go with this flow. Tracy was the type of girl, you know, she would, when she used to walk along to the church, along the where the beach, or the coal, I should say, towards the church, right? And we used to go to the Indian restaurant every Friday night. That was me and her, right? Every Friday night. And this is before we were actually dating. I mean, was after we were dating, so I'll come back to that in a minute. But I just need to tell her this part. This is the type of person she is. She'd walk along the street and walking by this, and she's just singing and worshiping Jesus. Now, she can't hold a tune in a bucket, right? She just can't. That's not her gift, right? And she'll tell you that. But she loves to sing to Jesus, right? So she's singing along the street. Well, this Indian guy walks out the shop, and he starts following her, right? She thinks she's getting stalked, right? So she just keeps walking, and she's singing, and then she walks right up to church, and then he stops, and he looks, and he says, "Where are you going?" She says, "I'm going up to church." He says, "Can I come?" She goes, "Yeah." See, you're carriers of the presence of God. Something attracted. It wasn't just about her. So he goes into the church. He gives his heart to Jesus, right? He gets saved. So anyway, after that, they kicked him out of the Indian restaurant, right? Because he got saved and got born again. And he ended up working somewhere else. So about 2 or 3 weeks later, it shows you the impact that you have on people's lives when you live the Christian life and your worship and praise. It's not a Sunday thing. It's 7-Eleven. No, 7-Eleven? It's not something like that. 24-7. 24-7. Think slow. Hallelujah. Think slow. So 24-7, right? So anyway, we 2 or 3 weeks later, we're walking by this little Italian cafeteria next to the bus station in Kirkcaldy, and where you can get coffee and meals at night. So we're walking by that. This lovely Indian guy, he's sitting on a chair at the bar, right, at this cafeteria, and looks, and he goes like this. And he sees Tracy. So we go in and we sit on the stools and we start sharing Jesus again with him. And he's just sitting and he's just soaking it up and we're just talking to whatever. Anyway, it was an Italian, obviously, restaurant, and they're all Italian. They're all Italian. I mean, real Italians, right? I mean, they were real, all staunch Catholics, right? A Catholic. This woman had been in the Catholic Church for 30 years, right? Her daughter, and so they were all Catholics. Lovely, lovely people, beautiful. Still really great friends with these people. And anyway, so we're sitting there sharing the gospel, right, with this ex-Muslim, right, who's now knowing Jesus. And this girl is standing behind the counter, right, Lucia's name was, Lucia. And she just, you just know how somebody's just lugging into your conversation. And they're lugging, right? They're just, what are you looking at? What's happening? You do that in a bar in Scotland, you're in trouble. You know, sometimes you stare, you're in a bar in Scotland, you know, before you get saved, and you're just staring into space, and you're just thinking about things, whatever. And the guy across is like going, "What are you looking at? What are you about? Do you want to fight?" That's the culture. Don't mess. Anyway, we're in this guy. She's listening, right? And then she leans over the counter and she says, very quietly, "What church do you go to?" I said, "We go to Christian Center Ministries." I know. She says, "Do you think that I could come to your church? The presence of God and the Spirit of God, you're a carrier of the Spirit of God. And you're talking about life and you're talking about Jesus passionately, who you're in love with. And you're sharing this with this beautiful ex-Muslim guy." And she is logged into the conversation, right? So she comes to the church. She gets saved. Her whole family gets saved, right? Or the whole Italian family, right? I mean, you know, "Don't you touch me or I'll kill you," right? "Don't you touch me. Don't you touch me. I'll kill you for £50, eh? But seeing you, my friend, I'll kill you for nothing, eh?" Two smoking barrels. So anyway, the Italianos, right? And so they all get saved, right? And the mother, She's probably in her late 60s, been in the Catholic Church since she was like, I mean, for years and years, 30, 40 years, whatever. She came to our church, and she came for 6 months. She was so excited. She says, I've been, right? Now, this is not a slight, please. If you're Catholic, this is not an offense. This is just her telling me that. She said, I was in the Catholic Church for 30 years, and she says, in 6 months, I've learned more in 6 months than I had in 30 years. Why? Because she was getting mentored by the Spirit of God and the Word of God, and her life was growing. And this is the mother in her 60s. Well, she went back to the priest, and she starts preaching to the priest. Because she loved the Catholic Church, right? And she loved the people. She's back and she's preaching. We're going, oh, Jesus. She's going to cause a riot. I mean, she's back and she's telling people, what about this and what about this and whatever. Anyway, that's Tracy. She's just, everywhere she went, she's just full of joy. She affects people. Why? We should be affecting people. It's not just it's a lifestyle. It's a life of joy. It's a life of peace. It should be shining. Our light should be shining in the world. And, Hallelujah. So what happened was, go back to this story again. 1987, only met her for a few weeks after she fell for me, basically. But she still didn't think it in her head, because I was a Glaswegian, I think. But the night I was going to Nigeria, 1987, I remember it clearly. Tracy had she's got a beautiful gift of poetry. She's very prophetic. She writes poetry. She gave my cousin 7 different poems. How do you say it here? Because she always gets, my daughter always gives me a hard time. She says, you're saying it wrong, Dad. Poem. See, I always say poem. She goes, you're saying it wrong, Dad. It's poem. Okay, poem. Poem, whatever. So she writes poems, right? And she gave 7. Can't help it, I'm Scottish, brother. Just go with the flow. Let's go with the flow. That's right, be myself. There's only one of me. They're going, thank God. Jesus is Lord. So she wrote 7 of these, you know, poems to my cousin, and every single one of them came to pass. Every single one, right? So she gave me this poem this night. I'm leaving for Nigeria. She walks up to me, and remember, she's just born again, right? And she gives me this poem. So anyway, I read the poem. And I looks at it, and I'm ready to go on a missions trip to Nigeria. And I looks at it, and it says, go forth, my son, with a song in your heart, spreading the seed wherever you may go, singing a song to the Lord, right? And that was the type of word it was in it. I'm looking, thinking, man, she's just born again. And this is all prophetic. I'm looking at you, see how you, right? God, by his Spirit, whatever level that you're at, doesn't matter if you're born again or not, God wants to move through you. He wants to bring words through you. He wants to bring his presence through you. So I'm looking at this, fantastic. Now, that's not how God used me at this point in time. So I went to Nigeria. I was there for 3 weeks, and we saw miracles. I mean, I'm telling you, I'm just thinking I'll just stay with this story just now. We were there for 3 weeks. I mean, there was a lot of prayer went in Scotland. I mean, 3 solid months of prayer went in. I mean, just pounding prayer. But the Nigerians, they were fasting and praying and waiting for these men of God to come to bring them a message. I mean, they were before their faces. You know, sometimes we, you know, put on conventions and that. We go and we expect, you know, everybody else to do the work. But when we go to convention, we should be preparing. We should be praying. We should be praying into the situation too and believing for the supernatural, because it's a body ministry. God wants the body to be praying. And let the prayers of heaven shows the supernatural. We talk about revival. Awesome. Revival last night. We want revival. It is a body ministry that causes revival. When a bunch of people get together and they pray, things change and things happen. And this was a bunch of Nigerian people who fasted and prayed. And I tell you, we walked into the supernatural for 3 solid weeks. I'm telling you, we'd be sitting around tables. This guy would say something, right? I mean, I would think something, he would say it. The supernatural, it was like we operated as one. It's, you know, the Bible says that me and my Father are one. Jesus says, me and my Father are one. Well, we are one with him. And God downloads thoughts and creativity. And we were just operating so supernaturally. And what he would say, I really think we should bless Moses. Moses, you know, not, you know. There's a Moses there, right? Okay. He said, let's bless Moses. He would say something. I would just see a picture. God would show me a picture in my case and my clothes, whatever. And God said, I want you to give them that. And I want you to give them that. And I'm saying that. So he pulls out his case to give him something. And the thing that I was looking to get, everything would match. It was just so supernatural, right? And Anyway, we're at this table one night after a meeting, and we had an experience with Jesus. We're sitting at the table. We came out of the meeting that night after in Nigeria, it's 5-hour services. You know, we're looking at our clock. You know, 20 minutes. Church is over, right? When is church over? 5-hour services. These people walk for 3 and 4 hours sometimes to get to church, right? Because they're hungry for God. And that's why there's manifestations, because they are hungry for God. They don't have the technology we have here. They don't have, you know, like doctors and great hospitals. I mean, we seen this little kid who basically was on death's door. It was just hanging. He was on death's door, this kid. And this is at the missionary place. And I'll come back to that story at the table. And we saw him, and we were just praying. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to the guy that was with. He says, take that kid, take him to the tap, take some water, and just put water on him and pray over him. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And he said, pray for divine healing. All of a sudden, pray for this little kid. He was up, running all over the place. His mum was just weeping. His mum was just weeping. This kid, no hospitals running about where they were. Didn't have any money, nothing. And then we just blessed them with money and different things. Totally healed them. This is the type of things we were seeing in Nigeria. So he comes out of this meeting. And we're in this table. In fact, I'll come back to the table. I need to tell this, but we're in. There's so many things going through my head just now, believe me. We're in the meeting. Now, Tracy gives me this poem, right? Before I went to Nigeria, I was in the house with assistant pastors, and very prophetic woman. Just she was the prayer leader in the church, and she was also one of the assistant pastors. Very prophetic. And we were sitting at the table, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon her at the table. We're having lunch in her house, the both of them. And she starts prophesying to me, and the Spirit of the Lord says to me, I need you to be so sensitive to my spirit, because I need you to hear me for the things that I want to do. And he says, it is listening to and going with what I want you to do that will cause the manifestation that I want to do, right? And as she says that, the power of Almighty God hit me, and I'm under the table. I'm talking, I've never experienced this in my life, holiness. It was holy. It was like Isaiah said, I felt undone. I couldn't breathe. I was lying under the table. I'm like, oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. His presence and his glory was all over me. I'm just lying under the table. I'm going, oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. It was holy because he's holy. He's so holy. And he said, just be sensitive to me. Just let me move. But you've got to be sensitive, because there's things I need to do and you need to listen. So that was before I went there. I guess this poem. So he goes there. I'm sitting in this meeting. And we're all taking shots of preaching, you know, on different meetings. So I'm sitting on the platform with the other assistant pastor, and he's up preaching. I'm sitting there, and there's one set of congregation, another, and there's an aisle. And I'm sitting there, just mind my own business, listening to the sermon. All of a sudden, Spirit of the Lord comes on me, and he says to me, and my eyes looks over, and he says, the guy, third row, left-hand side, he says, he's a witch doctor. Shirt and tie. No, he doesn't have feathers on and painted face, right? He had a shirt and tie on. And I'm looking, and the Spirit of God says, the witch doctor, right? Now remember what the Lord says, you need to listen to me, right? You see, when Jesus makes statements, and Jesus says things like, you know, I only do what I hear. I only say what I hear my Father say, right? And I only do what I see my Father do. See, he had an intimate relationship with his Father. Because you've got to remember, though he was God in the flesh, the Bible says in Philippians, he laid his deity aside. He never operated out of his deity, because if he were to operate out of his deity, you could not do anything that he done. He operated under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, right? Luke 4:18. You see, he was the Christ. He was the anointed one. He was the Messiah, but he laid that aside. And it says in Luke 4:18, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and has anointed me. Why did he have to be anointed if he was God? Because he laid his deity aside. He was 100% God and he was 100% man. 100% God and 100% man. His deity was laid aside, and he had to operate as a man so that you could do the things that he could do. by the same Spirit that was upon him, the same Holy Ghost that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, lives and dwells within us, and we need to be learned to listen the way that he listened. But he was a man of prayer. He spent the nights in prayer on the mountain. When he came down the mountain and he said, "Peter, follow me," how did he know who to call? Because he looked through his eyes and the Spirit of God would show him, because he had an intimate relationship with his Father, and he only done what he saw the Father do. Father was shown him. How was the Father shown him? By the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit will come and show you things to come. He will reveal things to you. Are we putting a demand on the Word of God? Are we praying and believing, saying, "Thank you, Jesus, you sent the Holy Ghost to the church to show me things to come, to reveal the things of Jesus, to reveal the things of the Father. You will show me." You have to put a demand on the Word of God. You have to release your faith in Almighty God and say, "Thank you, Father, that I'm led by the Spirit of God." Too many Christians are running and saying, "I don't know if I hear God. I can't hear God." You are speaking and putting the law of sin and death into operation, and you're blocking your spirit from hearing God. Instead, he's getting in line with the Word of God. It says, "My sheep hear my voice and follow me, and the stranger's voice they will not follow." You've got to get in with the Word of God. You've got to stay with the Word of God. He only did what he saw his Father do. So you look through Jesus' ministry, and you see things that how he operated. And you see, listen, he took mud and put it in people's eyes. Now, did he do it again? You don't see any record of him doing it again. Why? Because if that was the way that people got healed, we would make a doctrine of it, right? And we would say, "This is the way that you get healed." No, he healed people in many different ways. Why? Because it's as the Spirit of God shows you. But sometimes we even take the scriptures and something like that, and we try to put it in every single platform that we're in. We have to know the Spirit of God. It's only the Spirit of God that knows the intents of the heart, knows what's going on in a person's life. He has to give you words of knowledge, words of wisdom, show you things. When we are praying for people, the Holy Spirit knows what's going on. But sometimes we are desensitized because sometimes we're indoctrinized. We're desensitized because we're indoctrinized the way things should be, instead of having the relationship with the Father that we should have. And that's what he said to me when I went there. So I'm sitting on the platform, and he shows me a witch doctor. So the minute he showed me that, this guy gets up and he walks out, and there's no windows, right? Because it's like mud huts, right? Mud huts, no windows. I watched the guy going outside, and he's standing outside, and his hands is up in the air. Well, I don't think he was praying to Jesus, believe me, right? So I was all excited, right? I'm all excited. Oh, God showed me something, right? This is 87, so I'm still walking, I'm still learning. There's a development, right? There's grace. Grace is upon your life so that you can develop. But God tried to warn me before I went, "You need to listen to the instruction, what I want to do." So I looked, the guy walks aside, I get up off the platform, I'm out there. I'm looking. The guy's gone. So I'm around the building. What was I going to do if I found him? I got no idea, right? I just ran out there all excited. Comes back in. When I came back in, the guy was sitting back in the building. I don't know how he got back in the building because I was just outside. I've got no idea. But he was back in. So anyway, I'll give you this other little bit of story and then we'll go back to this because it's all links. So I'm sitting there again, and one of the other teachers is teaching on, he's teaching on worship, right? He's teaching on worship. But you could see that they weren't getting it, what he was trying to teach them. You could just see they weren't getting it. I'm sitting on the platform. Spirit of the Lord says to me, "Go to the chalkboard." Now this guy's preaching. I'm sitting on the platform, and God's telling me to go to the chalkboard behind them. I'm thinking, that's a distraction. See? Reasoning. Remember we talk about spirit, soul, and body? Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions, and the reasoning realm. The reasoning realm will always reason things, you know, against the things of God, against the Spirit of God. In fact, Paul says that the carnal mind, it's enmity against the things of God. It's always pushing against. Why? Because it doesn't understand. And it's only your spirit that understands. And you've got to learn to yield to your spirit. So I'm thinking the chalkboard. So I get up. He's preaching. I walked over to the chalkboard. Felt like a ding. I don't know what a ding is. I felt like a ding, you know, a dodo. I feel like a dodo. I'm standing there. Turns back, sits back down again. The Spirit of the Lord says, "Go to the chalkboard." I got up again, go to the pot, felt like a ding, a dodo, sat back down again. And then the Spirit of the Lord said again the third time, right, with a bit more authority, "Go to the chalkboard." I said, "Well, Lord, what do you want?" "Go to the chalkboard." I says, "What now, Lord?" He says, "Pick the chalk up, dummy." He didn't say dummy, right? But that's what, you know. You go to the chalkboard, what am I doing? Pick the chalk up. Oh, yeah, okay, the penny's dropping now, right? Okay, pick the chalk up. What do I do now, Lord? Put it to the board, right? I put the chalk to the board, and I started drawing a diagram, right? It was God. I drew a diagram, and it was how to get from the outside right through into the very throne room of God and into the presence of God. And he was teaching on worship. When they saw that diagram, when he was teaching, the whole congregation got up, and they started to worship. The place exploded. Things started happening. People were getting healed in the meeting. The glory of God hit. Why? Because they saw something with it. You know, that's why I love about your teachings, the things that you do. And I think, I'm sitting there sometimes, I'm thinking, God, I wish I could do stuff. I wish I was more creative, Lord, you know, like he does with the stuff. I love, you know, when you see the creative stuff and you see pictures and it just does something for you. No wonder Jesus taught in parables to try and get something across. You know, sometimes we can be so thick in our minds, you know, we just need a picture. Like Abraham, you know, God gives Abraham promises. You know, you're going to be the father. You're going to be the father of many nations and all the rest of it. You know, and Abraham's struggling. You know, we call Abraham the father of faith, and he is. But it took some time for him to be the father of faith, right? Why? He tried to give his wife away twice. Off as his sister, right? See, there's grace and there's mercy. God gives grace and mercy. He's the father of faith now. He's the father of faith, right? And we all say, well, Father Abraham's the father of faith, and he is. But it took him some time to get there. Because at certain points in his life, he's basically, you know, trying to fob off his wife to save his own neck. Right? And then God has to give the king a dream and saying, you touch her and I'll kill you. But you just love God, right? You touch her and I'll kill you. The guy wakes up freaking out his box and says to Abraham, what are you doing? You didn't tell me this was your wife. And then he sends Abraham on his way with wealth and blessings and the whole deal. See, the blessing of the Lord was upon Abraham's life. Grace was upon his life, even though he tried to give his wife. Grace was upon his life when he tried to give his wife. There's many people trying. No, I'm not going to go there. we'll not go there, right? That could be a very good poem. So anyway, goes to the chalkboard, does this. Man, the place just erupted, right? I mean, just erupted, man. Just things started happening. And in those meetings, people would come up and I'd walk up and all of a sudden this poem that Tracy gave me, right, would start to operate. I would start to sing in the spirit. I mean, I can prophesy, I can pray in the spirit and get words and stuff like that. I'd just start singing, Shora mama mara sinde, Hora mama mama sinde, Riando, Ridie, Rianayando, Shirianana si. For I am the Lord that loveth thee and created you to walk with me. My desire has always been to restore you back to me, that you may know my love for thee. So open your heart and receive from me the love that I have for thee. That's what would happen. Continually. And people would come, and I would start to sing, and God would just minister them, and God would just bless their life. That was in the poem that she gave me, but when before I left Scotland. And that's how we started, and this happened and happened all through 3 weeks. So he goes back to the hotel, and we're sitting at the table. And worship is the key, people. You've got to be a worshiper. It's worship. We worship him. We adore him. We love him. And when we love him, in fact, there's a scripture, and it's Matthew. You all know it. Well, Matthew 6 and 33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God first, and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. Now, there's a breakdown to that. It says, worship God at the beginning, and the sovereign realm of a king shall open up, and the fullness of the Godhead shall be directed in your direction. That's the breakdown on all those little words. Seek God at the beginning, and the sovereign realm of a king shall open up, and God shall be heading your direction. Now, one day I was driving a guy to Perth, not this Perth, in Scotland, working for an insurance company at the time, and I was sharing some stuff like this with him about the sovereign realm opening up through worship and praise. And as I'm talking to him, all of a sudden the Spirit of the Lord came upon me, and he says, why don't you teach him it right, basically. That's what he was saying, teach him it right. I'm saying, Lord, what are you talking about? I said, the Lord says, where do you think the sovereign realm is? I'm saying, you worship God and the sovereign realm will open up, and I'm looking up here for the sovereign realm opening up. See, that's where my mind was when I was sharing this with him. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon me. He says, the realm, he says, that I'm talking about when you worship me is within your spirit. For the kingdom of God is within you. There's a realm of God within you that when you worship, it opens up the kingdom, and you step into this realm, and that's where you perceive and see and know things supernaturally. In that realm, it's in. We're always looking out here externally for God to open up, and we're always looking here for the glory to fall down. It says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. There's a manifestation of his glory that's within you that will rise from within you. Yes, the Holy Spirit will come on you too, but there's a glory. We're always looking for portholes. There's a porthole within you. It's within you. There's a river of living life. We sing those songs of old, but it's a realm of glory. And that's what was happening the whole 3 weeks. I'm telling you, people, I was laying sleeping at night and having conversations with God in my sleep. Your spirit never sleeps. Your spirit never sleeps. It is your physical being that sleeps. I was having conversations at night with God in my spirit, and he was talking to me. I mean, things that he was talking to me, I still don't even understand what he was talking to me back then, because there was so much he was downloading when I was lying in bed at nighttime. Because your mind just can't comprehend some things. So we're sitting at this table and we're worshiping. We're worshiping. And we're worshiping. And all of a sudden, it happened again. The glory of God basically arose and also descended. And we were sitting at this table, right? It was a big long table, but from here to where you are. Big long table. The assistant pastor was sitting there. The assistant pastor was sitting at the end of the table, and me and him was having a conversation about the meeting that we'd just been in, right? Different things. And the glory of God came. I'm telling you, if I knew, no, I didn't see, right? I didn't see anything. I didn't see in my natural eye that Jesus was there, but I knew that I knew that Jesus was there. How did I know? I just knew, right? I knew Jesus was sitting at that table. That's the only thing I could tell. It was almost like biting into a bar of chocolate. You know it's so real, right? It was so real to me. And we're having a conversation. And everything that we're having a conversation about the meeting, this guy, for five hours, he never opened his mouth once to have a conversation about anything we were talking about, other than he would just prophesy. We would talk about things, and he would just give the answers by the Spirit of God. God was just answering thing after thing after thing. Absolutely supernaturally, sitting at that table, he just kept answering what we were talking about, fellowshipping about. And then the Spirit of the Lord, so this is all happening. I'm thinking about, I'm just thinking. You know how Jesus is standing in the midst of the, you know, the religious people, whatever, and it says Jesus even knew their thoughts. And basically he directed when he spoke, and he would deal with it, you know, with their stinking thinking, right? With the Pharisees and the Sadducees and their wrong attitudes and whatever, right? He would deal with their stinking thinking because he knew the perception that he knew. And you've seen it, obviously, you know, operating through, you know, our brother Steve, you know, like in situations, like, I know there's something people thinking that it's the gifts, it's the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Jesus operated this continually. The whole four Gospels is all supernatural. Every single step, supernatural. But he did it as a man anointed by the Spirit of God. So I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God said to me through this guy, and he said to me, because I'm thinking about the witch doctor thing, and the Lord said to me, he says, yeah, you're right. The guy was a witch doctor, because see, my reasoning, I'm thinking, was it really a witch doctor? After it came out, see, when you're in the anointing, it's so clear. But when you step out of that anointing and you're away and you start to go back to the natural, you start questioning, was that really God? Was that really what he was saying? So I'm thinking this and meditating in my heart, and the Spirit of the Lord says to him, through him, and he goes, that was a witch doctor that was in that room, right? And he says, and all I deserve, see, I missed it, people. I missed it, big time. Instead of when Lord showed me that was a witch doctor, the next quit, and this is where we need to communicate and have communication with the Holy Spirit when he's speaking to us. We should be saying, okay, what's the next step? You've showed me something. See, if God's showing you something, or God shows an angel, well whoopee-doo. The Bible tells me there's angels in this room right now, right? You know, when angels came to Paul, they came for a purpose, right? To give messages and to, you know, there was things that angels do, right? It's not just about seeing things. There's a purpose in everything that God does. We are not anointed for no purpose. If you people, I want to be anointed, people say, I want to be anointed. Well, the anointing is for a purpose. It's for a purpose. It's not so you can feel the goosebumps and feel all good. Now, that's all well and fine, and I love all the goosebumps, and I love all the presence, and I love all the glory, but I want the anointing. The anointing is for a purpose to do something, to break chains, to raise people up, to build the body up, to bring change. The anointing, I'm anointing, Jesus says, I'm anointing. We're always talking about casting out devils. Yes, there's a time for casting devils and by the Spirit of God. But Jesus even takes another step and he says, I am anointed to preach deliverance to the captives. There's an anointing that when you will share the gospel under the anointing of God, it will bring deliverance to the captives under the anointing. The anointing is for a purpose. Not so we can have just a Holy Ghost party of our own little planet. I love the Holy Ghost parties in my own house when we have some fellowship and it's great and God's all over you and you're rolling about the floor and you're in intercession and you're praying and the glory's down. It's wonderful. But even those times, you're in intercession causing things to change. In fact, Finney. Who's heard of Finney? The great evangelist, right? You read Finney's story and Finney tells you about Father Nash, right? Father Nash, right? Father Nash would go 3 weeks before any tent meeting that Finney would have, right? Signs, wonders, and miracles, absolute outstanding miracles in Finney's meetings as an evangelist. But Father Nash was hooked up with Finney. And Father Nash, right, and this little man and a couple of others would go 3 weeks into every town and they would get a room and they'd be fasting and they'd be praying and they would be in there. And people would come, like the people that were in the hotels would come to bring food to the door and they'd walk to the door and they would hear, they would hear all the groanings and the travailings and see, but the body of Christ, the full Pentecostals, we have lost this thing so much with it, because there's nothing in this earth that will happen unless it's birthed in heaven first. There's nothing happens in the natural unless it's birthed. You don't have a baby until you sow the seed, until it grows and develops, and then there has to be a birth, right, in the natural. It's the same thing. Read Isaiah, I think it's 66. Will I not bring forth? Will I not bring forth to the birth? Will I not bring it forth, says the Lord? There's a birthing in the Spirit. You have to birth things in the Spirit. And in the prayer life, well, Father Nash knew how to do this stuff. Him and the intercessors, they would be praying and fasting, and they would just be in there praying and groaning and travailing. And I'll give you some scripture on it, and it talks about this. And even, in fact, even Paul says, listen, he says, I travail. Come on, is there women in here? Women know how to travail, right? I mean, they want to give you the jando when they're in travail. You look them the wrong way and you get the jando because they're in travail. They know what pain is. They know what travail is before that baby comes, right? Paul says, I travail again. So he's already travailed. I travail again until Christ be formed in you. So he had already travailed. He knew how to pray. He's the one that wrote this stuff, right? He must have been travailing before to bring... See, the difference with Finney, says that 80-odd% that his converts stayed true to Jesus. Why? Because they were birthed into the kingdom. They were birthed by the Spirit of God. And the ones that are birthed by the Spirit of God, they're the ones that will stay the course. Because they're true conversion, they are birthed by the Spirit of God. So Finney would be in Father Nash would be praying, interceding, and calling, and the travail and the groanings, and Paul says, I travail again till Christ be formed in you. I mean, I was meditating on that one time. I said, Lord, what does that mean till Christ be formed in you? Travail again till Christ be formed. What does it mean, Lord? And the Spirit of the Lord said to me, he says, the travailing, Danny, the travailing will bring forth the bursting forth of revelation knowledge of who you are in Christ Jesus, and you will start to be more like Jesus. It's the travailing and the prayer life that once you've brought something to the Lord and you've spoken the word into the life, there's time that the prayer needs to be done, the travailing prayer, that you're praying and travailing over their life, that revelation may burst forth, that the revelation of the Christ, the word of God that gets inside of you, the revelation of the Christ, of the new creation, who you are in Christ, bursts forth inside of you and you see things. One man of God I had many years ago, he says, I've been preaching some of this stuff, you know, for weeks and weeks and months and months, and even a couple of years. And he says, I knew that some people weren't getting it. And he said, I didn't understand why. I got before the Lord, and I was praying for a few hours in the Spirit and praying and praying and praying. And the Spirit of the Lord says to him, he says, hi, you start praying the Apostle Paul's prayer, chapter 1, verse 17, that the eyes of the understanding may be enlightened and God may reveal the glory, the hope of the glory that dwells within them. See, watch, the glory that dwells within them. He says, I started to pray that. He says, within 3 weeks, Pete, I was getting phone calls all over the place and people going, I see it. I see it. I see it. Prayer and the Word together, you can't separate them. You can't. The Spirit and the Word work together. The prayer, the Holy Spirit will take you into realms of prayer, into this realm of glory, into the realm of travail and birthings, to birth things into the kingdom. Some people go, oh, it's only for them. I believe it's for everybody. It's for everybody. Oh, I'm called to be an intercessor. We're all called to be intercessors. It's God and it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. If Christ is in you, then you're called to be an intercessor. You're called to step into the realm of prayer where the Spirit of God wants to use and operate through you to change things.
Right.
So I'm at this table and God said to me, yeah, that was the witch doctor. And I said, and the Lord said to me, I just wanted you to do one thing. I said, Lord, and I'm thinking in my heart. Now, I'm not even speaking to this guy. I'm just thinking in my heart. And as to every time I'm thinking in my heart, he keeps answering the questions by the Spirit of God. So he doesn't even know what's going on himself. Because it's the prophetic, right? And God spoke to me and he says, all I wanted you to do was to walk. He says, to sit where you are and look directly into his eyes. Into his eyes. And now your natural mind's going, well, what is that going to do? I'll tell you what it's going to do. I found a scripture, I think it was in Psalms, or it was in the Proverbs, that says, the eyes of a king will dispel darkness. The eyes of a king will dispel darkness. The light that's in you when you're in the anointing. See, the difference is, when you're in the anointing and under the influence of the anointing, when you're looking through the eyes of the anointing, darkness will flee. There's a power in the very light that's in you, that's in Christ Jesus. It's in Proverbs. The eyes of a king will disperse darkness. The anointing. When you look, people would say, Tracy, sometimes she'd miss people, and they'd say, don't look at me like that. It's the light. It looks right into the soul, and it will even cause darkness to be exposed. There's many different ways. And I'm thinking, that was all? Yeah, not to run off, like, you know, outside, like, you know, just to sit there. So that was one way. And I repented, and I'm saying, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm sorry, Lord. I missed it, but you know what, Lord? I know that you... So he's still talking to me, even though I missed it, right? Even though that I blew it. So what? He's talking to me. He's trying to train me to get me more sensitive to move with the Spirit of God, right? It's like a teacher in a school. We think correction's a bad word. Correction's not a bad word. You've got kids in school that basically are getting things wrong. The teacher comes along and corrects them. All they're doing is correcting the things they've done so they can become better at school. Correction's not a bad word. God wants it. He loves those. He corrects those who he loves, and he loves those who he corrects. He wants to correct us just to get more flowing with the Holy Ghost so as we can be more powerful in the kingdom of God. Because I only do what I see the Father do. I only say what I hear the Father say. But many times we're just rattling off at the mouth, you know, and we're not getting the results. We're not getting the results because Finney said this. Finney says, the manifestations of the glory and the manifestations of the healings and the deliverances and all the things that happened in that tent, he said it wasn't down to me. He says, I was the vessel to preach the word of God under the anointing, where the anointing came, the Holy Spirit and the word of God together causing the power. He said, but it was already birthed. He says, in that prayer room, he says, in that hotel with these guys for 3 weeks. And he says, when Father Nash died, he says, my ministry, right, this is his own testimony, his ministry was never the same. His ministry was never the same. Now that shouldn't be, right? Because it shouldn't just be down to the Father Nash's. Now Father Nash was powerful in prayer and did those things, but it should be the body of Christ that should be like the Father Nash's. It shouldn't be down just to the individuals. We have to be, it says, awake, awake. Shake yourself, it says in Isaiah. Awake, awake, awake unto what? Awake unto the glory that's within you. Awake, thy glory shall descend upon you, but thy glory is within you. We have to awake to the glory that's within us and press into him, because there's much more. It's not just about us enjoying our little Christian life. He wants to manifest to the world. Jesus messed up funerals. He messed funerals up. They'd prepared everything and walking down the street with their bands and the whole deal and prepared everything. And he'd walk up and just messed the whole funeral up. Pop, out that box. Whoa, what's happening? Pop. Jesus had a thing of messing things up that the world, you know, wants the things that... But Jesus. Let me give you another couple of scriptures. Here's a clue. And I'll finish on this. Remember the Roman soldier comes to Jesus. And he says, my servant is sick. Right? And Jesus says, I'll come and I'll heal him. Right? See, Jesus walked in the full manifestation. You know, we're learning. We're developing. You know, we're pursuing God to walk in these things. We look at these things and we cry and we hunger for them. But we have got to press in even more. Right? Press in even more. And you know my circumstances now. And I'm pressing as much as I can. But I know that I'm on that road. And I know that she is recovering in Jesus' name. Right? But I'm pressing in. And we need to press in. But here's this Roman soldier that comes to Jesus and he goes, he says, my servant's at home sick. And Jesus says, hey, I'll come and heal him. Right? No doubt. I'll come and heal him. And he says, no. He says, I'm not even worthy that you come into my house. This is the Roman soldier, right? He's a heathen. He says, I'm not worthy. And he said to Jesus, he says, just speak thy word only, and my servant shall be healed. And Jesus looks at this guy. He says, speak thy word only, that my servant may be healed. And then he makes the next statement, and he says, because I am also a man under authority. Right? He says, I tell one go and he goes, and I tell one come and he comes. Right? Why is that? Why could he say that? Because he was a centurion. He knew that the whole of what? Of Rome was behind him. So when he told somebody to do something, Rome was backing that. So he understood Jesus. When Jesus spoke, heaven was backing it. Heaven was backing it. Listen, heaven is backing us when we are yielding to what we see by the Spirit, when we are yielding to what we hear by the Spirit, when it's His will, when it's His purpose, when we see it and we're doing it by the Spirit of God, He will back it. And then Jesus turned around and says, I haven't found so great a faith in all of Israel. Now listen, His disciples were with him 3.5 years, casting out devils, doing all sorts of things, whatever. And he makes a statement. Can you imagine, like, you know, here we are. We've hung with Jesus for 3.5 years. We've walked with him. We've talked with him. We've eaten with him. We've saw miracles. And here he is talking to a Roman soldier. I've never saw greater faith in all of Israel. Can you imagine what they must have been feeling like? See, there goes the feelings again. There goes the emotions again. There goes the carnal mind again. Oh, I don't understand why God's using them over there. I've been serving God for 30 years. The disciples, they must have, that natural, right? Why would I say that? Because they had arguments. Who's going to sit at the right hand side of the Father? Right? They were natural men, and you've seen the little arguments in their little camps, even the disciples and the apostles. But Jesus says, I've never found so great a faith in all of Israel. Why? Because that centurion soldier didn't have to see any manifestation or any outworking of anything, right? What he just believed, he believed in the spoken word. He believed in the spoken word that when Jesus spoke, the heaven would basically move on his behalf because he understood authority. Great faith is attached to authority from the kingdom of heaven. You can't separate them. Great faith is attached to great authority in the kingdom of heaven. I believe that God is raising up his body, causing us to awaken unto righteousness. He's causing us to awaken unto righteousness, to who we are in Christ Jesus. Yes, we have a natural carnal man. Yes, we have emotions and feelings as a natural carnal man, but that's not us. That's just something that we have that he's blessed us with in a positive way, or it should be a positive way, but we are a new creation in Christ Jesus, and old things have passed away, people. You know, and I'll make the statement before I close here. You hear many people say things like, you know, oh, you've got to crucify the old man. That's nonsense. The old man is dead. The old man is dead. When Paul talks about crucifying, he talks about crucifying the flesh. He talks about renewing the carnal mind. He talks about washing your brain. Some of our brains need washed by the word of God so that our brain can come in line with our spirit. Your spirit man's already been washed and cleansed and has the divine nature of Almighty God dwelling within inside it. Your old man is dead. The old man that Paul's talking about is the sinful nature, the unregenerated spirit man that was what happened when Adam died in the garden. That was it, he died spiritually and it passed on to every single man on the face of the planet. That's why man, the only other way to get to heaven was through Jesus Christ, because every single person, oh, but I'm a good person. It's nothing to do with that. It was through Adam. Every man through Adam died through the spiritual nature. Separation. Because he died spiritually, and we took on that on in life. Jesus came and gave us a new life. So when Jesus gave us new life, the spirit man, it's brand new. You're born again of the incorruptible seed of the living word of God. Your spirit is brand new. Your spirit has the nature of God in it. And we've got to get that down deep, rooted and grounded in Christ Jesus and established in the faith. We've got to come to the place that we know that we are alive unto God. And no matter what happens, we are alive. It's our stinking flesh that needs to be crucified. It's our flesh, it's the carnal mind that's enmity towards the things of God. And that's why Paul says, I put no confidence in the flesh. No matter what stage that you are in life, you've got to put the confidence in God. Your faith is in God. And you've got to know that you are strong, that you are anointed, that you're empowered by the Holy Ghost. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I'm going to close there because I've went over time. Hallelujah. 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 Father, I just thank you. I so thank you, Lord God, for a beautiful people, Lord. A beautiful people who hunger and who thirst after righteousness, Lord. That's why they're here and they've spent these 4 days. They've spent 4 days, Lord God, coming, Lord God, because the body of Christ is becoming hungry, becoming thirsty, Lord God, for the true living water, for the true... I'm good. Jesus stood before he raised Lazarus from the dead. And before he got to the grave, God just done that, I believe, and just to show you something. He does some crazy stuff with me, but don't be concerned about it, right? It's not emotional. It's the mercy of God. It's the love of God. And Jesus stood before he came to the grave of Lazarus. And the Bible said he wept. And he had people run about saying, oh, he must have just loved him. He's weeping. He wasn't weeping from an emotional realm. He was weeping in the spirit. The tears of God causes things to change. The tears, when it comes from the spirit man, there's tears that comes from the spirit man. When you weep and the mercy of God hits your spirit and you weep by the spirit of God, there's power that gets released. Jesus was groaning. And it says straight after, it said he groaned in spirit. He groaned in spirit. Before he even got to the grave. And then when he went to the grave again, it said he groaned in spirit again. And then as he groaned in spirit, what was he doing? The power of God was manifesting in his spirit, and it was rising within his spirit through the tears, through the groanings. He groaned in spirit. And then he says, Lazarus, come forth. And the power of God, the resurrection power, went forth into the very grave and caused Lazarus to be risen from the dead and came forth out of the grave. And then Jesus says, now untie him. And we have an appointment with people that once that they are raised up, we have got to give them the truth of who they are in Christ Jesus so as they can be unwrapped from the religious junk that's on their life. Groanings and travailings. Isaiah, you see it. You see it in Ephesians. You see it with Jesus, even in John, the groanings, the birthings. Father, I pray for the revelation knowledge and the wisdom of God and the compassion of God and the tears of heaven would rise within our hearts, Lord, that our hearts would break for the things that your heart would break for, Father. That your miracles and your signs and wonders, Lord God, would flow again. That your mind, your miracles and your signs and wonders would flow, Lord, like never before. Because a people will be so hungry and thirsty to have and to see and to hear what you want us to do and to be sensitive to the mighty Spirit of God that you've sent to help us and lead us into these things. In Jesus' name, be blessed, people.